2 weeks ago, we had a chance to begin to explore the world of Tam Ke'ikar, sort of from 30,000 feet up in the air, a bird's eye view of the world of infusion of flavor and how we grapple with that. Last week, we began to unpack the first expression of that. Last week, we began to look at the first force that can drive Tam, that can be mavliya tam, that can cause tam to be absorbed into something, and that is heat. And we had a chance to take a look at a minor example, an incomplete situation of heat, because the bulk of Siman Sari Alf is dedicated to cases where the tam only travels into the first layer, kedei klipa. So we saw, based on the sugya in Masachas Pesachim in the seventh parak, that even though, as we'll mirtsham get to next week, when fully unleashed, heat is the most powerful driver of tam. And when fully unleashed, that's where we get to Mirtshem and Simin Sadi Beis, heat can cause a very expansive liya. But if it's heat in motion, if it's cham letoch tzonin, we paskin, if it's a hot item falling into something cold, so then that's a minor situation of heat. It's basically a cold case, and there'll only be a bliya b'chidei klipa. So that was Simin Sadi Aleph, if dollar. And now we come to the other major case of klipa, which does not involve heat at all. And this brings us instead to a different force, a different method of tam transfer that does not involve heat, bliya betzonin, or as I put in the title, a cold fusion. It's an opportunity for flavors to fuse without heat, bliya but sonin, and we can begin our exploration on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis in Maseches Chulin. Gemara presents a Machalokes Amorim. It appears to be a Machalokes Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, whether there is a method of time transfer called Moliach, consult without heat, drive flavor. So here the Gemara says, the Gemara opens around 8-9 lines from the top. I'm reviewed on Rav Shmuel, Ka'ara Shemach Babasar Salach Barasech. I have a plate or a tray upon which I had salted meat. I had raw meat with blood, and I salted together the blood, and I have that tray that I did the salting in. So I can't subsequently put a hot piece of kosher food on that plate, because the plate absorbed the blood when I was doing the salting. And now that the plate absorbed the blood, if I'm going to put a hot piece of food on it, the heat is going to draw out the tam hadam, which is obviously not kosher. So that's the position of Shmuel. Zagor says, oh, that's Shita Shmuel. Shmuel Taimeda, Amar Shmuel Maliach Rekurasech, Kavash Rekurasech. Shmuel is of the opinion, Shmuel formulated two methods of tam transfer other than heat. Maliach and kavush. Kavush working backwards. Mm-hmm. Kavush is when you soak something. And we assume even in a bland liquid, but for a period of 24 hours or more. So that causes a blia betzonein. The Shmuel's language that soaking or pickling is the same as cooking. It's kimavushol. And the one that's relevant to us is maliach is kiroseach. Something salty is the equivalent. Something salty but cold is the equivalent of something hot, and that's Shita Shmuel Maliach Kerosech. That's why he thinks that the pan in which you kasher is treif. It's treif. There was nothing hot in it. It was all cold. Yeah, it was cold, but it was salty. I had the blood, the bloody meat in this pan, and it was full of salt. The salt was there to draw the blood out, but Shmuel says the salt is also going to drive the blood. It's giving mavliya the blood. Once it comes out of the meat, it's going to be mavliya the blood into the pan, and male that ka'ara is treif. And the Gemara says that there's a machlekes about this. That's what Shmuel said, but kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came means, in the Talmud Bavli, means to travel, to be your age, from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. So Rabbi Yochanan was a first generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael. He was a junior contemporary, actually, of Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel were senior Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, first generation Amoraim who left after learning by Rabbi Yonasi, they left to go on Shlichut to Bavel. Gemara tells the whole story in the first parak of Sanhedrin. Rav succeeded in getting Smicha. Shmuel, Gemara tells the whole story. Shmuel never got Smicha, which is why we call him Shmuel instead of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan was a younger Talmud. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says, I remember as a sitting 7 rows back in Shir, and Rav was up front. The sparks were flying between Rabbi Yonasi, the Rebbe, and Rav, the senior Talmud. Rabbi Yochanan was a younger Talmud. Rav and Shmuel went off to Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan stayed in Eretz Yisrael, and he became the predominant Amora of the first generation Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. He and his Talmud Chaver and brother-in-law, Reish Lakish. So Shmuel says, Maliach Kiroseach, but when Ravin traveled from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, so he shared what Rabbi Yochanan said. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? Maliach Enoch Kiroseach, Kavash Enoch Kimavushal. So a machlokas Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan is Malach Kiroseach or not. And then the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. Amar Abaye. Abaye says we know that Rabbi Ami, who was also a second, like Ravin, a second generation Amora from Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Ami clearly paskened that Maliach is Kiroseach, and Rabbi says, I find Rabbi Ami to be a more reliable source on what Shitas Rabbi Yochanan than Ravin. Rabbi Ami was a more canonical source. So the Gemara comes to conclusion, everyone agrees that Maliach is Kiroseach. Netosis raises a very short Tosis on the top of Kuf Yavon Beis. Tosis says, Maliach and Kiroseach, on that line, this Shita of Ravin's version of Rabbi Yochanan, that there's no such thing as Maliach Kiroseach, is, what do you do with the Brice on Kuf Yud Gimel Amen Aleph? Tame Maliach v'tar tafel also. Well, maybe that's there is a brayso on Kuf Yud Gimel Amen Aleph that does talk about Maliach. Tosfos as well. Maybe that's the case. It's only by fish. Rafu karmayu, they have a weaker membrane, a softer, more permeable membrane. So maybe Maliach Kiroseach doesn't always work. Only works by certain things. Now that's again a havamina. We reject Rav. If you're going to say like Ravin that basically Maliach is ena Kiroseach, that salt doesn't drive blood into a kli, well, maybe it only applies in certain cases. We don't need this Taras L'maskana because we do accept Maliach Kiroseach. Tosis is most relevant because they point out to us that if you're looking for sources from Maliach Kiroseach, it's not only Amoraim. It's already Tanum. So let's take a peek. Kuf Yud Gimel Aleph, I actually tell you where that Brice is from. It's a Tosefta. Tosefta in Trumos. It's a Tosefta in Trumos. That's what the Masoros HaShas tells you on the side. Near the top of Kuf Yud Gimel Amen Aleph. What's the background? The background is, why is this in Trumos? This is in Trumos, the second, there are 11 prakim in Mishnayos Trumos. The second to last parak, Trumos Parak Yud, is all about Tam Ke'ikar and Belias Tam. A lot of different examples. It's largely about Truma. Because remember, Truma is interesting. Truma is a little bit like Basar B'Cholav in the sense that Milchiks is kosher and Flasiks is kosher. You can have both of them in a kosher kitchen, but you need to keep them separate. And we think about that Pesach time. Right? Before Pesach, so if you're trying to juggle having Pesach thick stuff in the house, Chametz thick stuff in the house, it gets a little dicey. So the truth is, all year long, in the era when people were Tahar and Kohanim were eating Truma, so Truma is food which is kosher for some and treif for others. Truma is mutter and a mitzvah even for Kohanim to eat. For a non-Kohen, it's a chiyuv misa bidei shamayim. It's far more treif for a non-Kohen to eat Truma than for any Jew, Kohen or non-Kohen, to eat basar b'chalav or pork. It's sort of like out of our... especially for you live in Chutz Laaretz, you sort of grow up with the notion that anything that fresh fruits and vegetables are automatically kosher. Right? It's the meat that's a problem. The meat and the cheese, but fruits and vegetables, what could be better than an unpeeled apple? But Eretz Yisrael, if I can't. The apple might be Tevel, or it's Truma, or who knows what it is. Right? So now we have Truma. Truma is unique in that it's kosher for some and treif for others. So that creates a lot of interesting dynamics. Again, something like bas b'chalav. I can have the milchiks, you can't have the milchiks. So they have a whole parak of Mishnayos that's more dedicated, parak yud of Mishnayos Trumas is dedicated to all these nesinos tam issues, mostly with truma. Because again, I'm going to have the truma in the kitchen, I'm going to have the non-truma in the kitchen. What happens when this was on top of that? And I had the hot bread on top of the container of drink. And now what? So the Mishnayos are merames, that there's an idea of maliach. The Tosefta in Trumas says it quite explicitly. Here it is near the top of Kuf Yigimel Min Aleph. It's a little tough here. The Brisa, but you get sort of in pieces here. Mesve, the fourth line, Mesve here. Dag tar shemelacha and dag tamei muta. The Brisa says, if you have a kosher fish and a treifa fish and you salt them together, it's kosher. Well, but then the Brisa goes on to explain. Here, you skip down a couple of lines to the 10th line or so that begins with the word tahar. Tahar shemelacha im dag tamei mutter. You have a kosher fish, a treifa fish is mutter. Kate said, what's the case? Shahaya tahar maliach v'tamei tafel. If the kosher fish, the tahar, the salmon, was salty, and the catfish, the treifa fish, was tafel, was not salty. But otherwise, it's going to be a problem. So what does this Tosefta teach us? What this Tosefta teaches me is, number one, the din of Maliach Kirosech, quite clear. And that's why Tosas on Kuf Yud Aleph said, how could it be anyone could disagree? Oh, well, maybe Ravin will say it's a limited din. But Lamaisa, we accept Shmuel and Rabbi Ami, Maliach Kirosech, so we can, that means that we can embrace this Tosefta wholeheartedly. Maliach Kirosech. Okay. Malicha can drive Tom. And then the Breisa is adding also that the first wrinkle in terms of the mechanics of Maliach is that we differentiate between the salty item and the non-salty item. Within the Maliach and the Tafel, not Tafel with a test, which means secondary, but Tafel with a Taf, which means bland. And it's a type of asymmetry. It's not the same as the asymmetry we had last week of Cham L'toch Tzonin. That was an asymmetry where we said, well, it depends whether the hot into cold or cold into hot, right? Whether the hot item is the ilah or the tatah. But there, it was, there's an asymmetry between different cases. But within a given case, if it's cold falling into hot, then the total bliyah. For both items, if it's hot falling into cold, then it's only kadei klipa for both items. We said last time, you have liquids, different, but they have one hot item, solid to another hot solid, or one hot solid to a cold solid. So kadei klipa in both directions, right? Cold solid onto hot solid, blia bakulo in both directions, right? Oh, but here, so there, in any given scenario, both foods absorb from each other equally. Here, what you see is that it's an asymmetry within a single case. It's a one-directional blia. The davar maliach pushes its flavor out, but it doesn't necessarily absorb. It's not opposed to absorbing. So if they're both maluchim, so then there could be a flavor transfer in both directions. But if only one is maliach, as well as tafel, so only the tafel will absorb. In other words, salt is a one-way force. Salt pushes it out. If they're both salty, they both push into each other. If only one is salty, it's giving off, it's exuding its flavor, but there's nothing dry, there's nothing causing it to absorb. Again, think about, if not the same, it's certainly somewhat similar to what salt does to the blood and the meat. Right? It's driving it out. It's driving it outward, it's not pulling it in. So again, that's what I was saying before. This is, Maliach Kirosech is the second case of a Kedei Klipa, but it doesn't operate the same way. The way it's a single case, a systonic asymmetry. It's an asymmetry within a given case. So if they're both meluchim, then they both are mavli into one another. Only one is maliach, so it drives it out, but it doesn't pull it in. Yeah, question.
In this case, the Gemara, the Tosfot does not tell you how much salt had to be on.
Correct. Oh,
like
good.
The other case describes there's a difference between how much salt is there.
Good. So that's why you have to come to the third Gemara. Exactly. The third Gemara addresses, that's the second detail within the world of maliach, is how much. So that's appears... It appears the end of the Sugya Pesachim, but we have a chulin in front of us. Let's take a look at that. Yeah, and the Rishonim, the interesting machlokas Rishonim here. Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, around 10 lines down at the star, Mesorah Shas tells you to look at Pesachim Ayin Vav Amud Aleph also. Hahu Bar Gozla, the case of the bird, the poultry that fell into the milchik sauce. Maybe ranch dressing is a good. Approximation. Kutach, those who learn Maseches Pesachim with the Daf Yomi, Kutach appears earlier in the third parak of Pesachim as an example of a food that has some chametz ingredients in it. The way it was made apparently involved milk and salt and breadcrumbs. Not exactly sure. Again, not exactly sure what the best modern equivalent is, but ranch dressing is an approximation, at least for our purpose. In Pesachim, the issue is the chametz. But for our purposes in Chulin, the issue is the milk and the salt. A salty dairy sauce. That's what kutach is for our purposes. So there's a bar gozla, a small bird fell into kada de kamcha. It falls into this container of the kutach, of the milchik sauce. So Shari Rav Chinina braid the Rav in Pashrunya. So Rav Chinina, who is the son of Rava of Pashrunya, who is clearly not the same person as the regular Rava, so he said Mutter, and then the regular Rava, Amar Rava, the student of Rava and Rav Yosef, the peer of Abaye, fourth generation Amora, Rava says, that was a brilliant psak. Man chakal mishrim ki hay gavna. Ilav Rav Chinina braid the Rav in Pashrunya. Yeah, only we rarely ever hear of Chinna Braid Rav and Pashrun, not a common figure. Rav said, "Wow, he is a real first class Talmud Chacham. He is able to figure out the Heter. Why? Because exactly what you said, Eric. Rav Chinna Braid Rav and Pashrun, you pointed out there is a din Melech Kaseach, but it has a limitation. Ki Amar Shmuel Melech Kaseach, that tiny Melech Hecher the Eino Nechamach Mas Milcho, only if it's not edible because of the saltiness." But this kutach, necha machmas milcho. This kutach is, it's not so salty, it has some salt in it. It's a salty, a dip, but it's not that salty. Salt's in the ingredients, but it's not salty enough, and that's har. Right? That's the second wrinkle here, is not only does the davar maliach mavliya, but not boleya, but also there's a shear. Now the question is, what exactly does this mean? This is very vague. It has to be eino nechal machmas milchel. So Rashi says that means, Rashi says, yeah, the kutach, he says, kutach maliach, but it's not so salty. Says in order to create the bulias tam, it has to be not edible, not eaten because of the salt, which Rashi says, it's unpleasant. It's so salty that it's unpleasant. It's eino noach. It's not pleasant to eat. It's not comfortable. Rov melech shebo. He says, so bad that you need to soak it and rinse it. Ke'en melichas baser latznia. So it's like putting salt, the degree to which you would salt meat to store. Now we're talking about at least jerky, and maybe even more, sorry, more than jerky. Tosas, Rashi is saying, you're going on this is pre-refrigeration and pre-chemical preservatives. Your chemical preservative is salt. So I'm going to load up the meat. We're going to be on a boat for 3 months, and we need protein. So what do? So we preserve the meat with salt. So much salt, you're not going to be able to eat it as is. You know, yes, for our purposes, think about a freezer. You put the food in the freezer to preserve it, but you don't eat it right out of the freezer. Right? The freezer keeps it for a few days or a week or a few weeks. But then when you take it out, you have to let it thaw, and then you can eat it. Rashi says that that's the way they handled salt. You have this. I need to have a store of meat on the boat for 3 months. So we're gonna not deep freeze it, but deep salt it, heavily salt it, enough that it can be preserved for a long time. And then when you actually want to eat it, you take a piece that you're eating that day and you rinse it off. What the equivalent of thawing? You desalt it, and then you can eat it. So Rashi says that's what the Gemara is saying. If it's so salty, salt, you know, it's to the degree that it's preserved, the degree that you couldn't eat it as is, and that's what Tosas, the first day in Tosas agrees with Rashi. Tosas Hanimili, they call it a rare name, Harav Yaakov Yisrael. See that beginning of Tosas Hanimili? As an aside, I believe this is the Tosas that's quoted by the Noda Behuda. I think it's the Noda Behuda who has a discussion about giving the child two names. For us, that's a commonplace. I'm Chaim Tanchum, Yitzchak Zev, Baruch Ber. Nowadays, the double names are common. A couple of centuries ago, it was not. So I think the Nabi Yehuda's discussion, I says, well, you do occasionally find two names, pretty rare. I believe he points to the Tosas. Harav Yaakov Yisrael was apparently one of the Baya Tosas. And he was makel of the situation of the Gigas Malaya Basar, Nimlcha Yafim Chatichas Nevela. It was a barrel of salted meat, and one of the pieces turned out to be treif. It's the question now, well, we can throw out the whole barrel. They weren't cooked together, but they were salted together. And there was no bitl b'shishim. Let's say it was 10 pieces of meat, and one of the 10 pieces was treif. And then you have to throw out the whole thing. He said, no, that's not called Nechel Machos Milcho. It's like Rashi, it has to be Kain Ibud, has to, you know, so salted that they were talking about like curing the meat. That's really salty. Le'urcha, he says, he quotes the Gemara in Shabbat, talks about boy le'urcha as opposed to le'besa. Is this for the road or is this for at home? At home, you're going to eat it, but for the road, you're making it temporarily inedible. He says, Rashi says that. But then he said, Rabbi Tam didn't like that. In the second wide line, Tam had a slew of Gemaras that he thought demonstrate that it's not so salty. As a matter of fact, one of them is what we saw in Kufi Alva and Vez, the way where we started. We said the opening case of Maliach was that I have a pan that I use for salting meat for kashrus purposes. How salty do you make that? You don't load up, when you salt meat, you cover it with salt, but not like la'orcha, not like for you know, preserving for the road. So that's the second approach. The first approach to Nechel Machos Milcho is this approach of Rashi and Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael. Then Tom says, no, it doesn't have to be that salty. It has to be, as it goes on to say, it has to be like Melichas. See, the couple lines down, there's a line near the end line, but Omar Rabbeinu Tam. Dechol Melichas on Osun the Kedera, when you salt meat for the pot, that's already Eino Nechel Machos Milcho. I mean, salt meat for the pot. That doesn't mean that you're salting the food that you're making. That means salting meat for kasher's purposes. Because if you plan to grill it, then you don't really have to salt so much. But if you're not going to grill, then you have to do a full melicha. The full halachic melicha is called melichas basar l'keder. But that's a much lower amount. That's a significantly less salt. Far less intense than what Rashi said. Who's more mekel, who's more machmir? Right.
He says you need a lot more salt than
right.
Counted as
right.
Cooking.
Right. Most of the time, which is exactly what Yaakov Yisrael said. Oh, you have this. I have this barrel of jerky, basically. Oh, but that's it's edible as is. So that's not maliach. Right? We on Tom is lowering the threshold. How much salt? How intense the salt have to be? Which means there'll be many more cases of maliach kiroseach. If you look at the Rambam, I think it's Perek Tes Alachit Ches. It's not clear whether he's signed with Rashi or Tosas. Kesef Mishnah on that Rambam quotes Tosas. And then Lecha Mishnah Labam says, he didn't really take a stand. Why are you quoting Tosas? Maybe it was like Rashi. He said, Nechi quote the Gemara, Nechel Machmas Milcha. But the what's interesting is there's a third opinion, which is the Ravid. The Ravid says, I think the Rambam got the totally wrong. The Rambam said the way we read the Gemara, like Rashi. Just that our girsa of the Gemara. That the kutach was salty. Right? And he said, oh, it's mutter because the kutach isn't so salty. So the rabbi says, nah, it wasn't about the kutach. It was It was the bird which was salty. That was the issue. The bird was salty. And again, some of Rishon pointed out there may be different gears. Our gears of the Gemara is Haikutcha, right? Our Gemara is Beferish. It's the Kutach was Nechamachas Milcham. They point out that there are other gears of the Gemara that don't have the Haikutcha. Okay. So the Ravid says, and this is it's not a question of Parshanut of the Gemara, it's relevant to Halacha. We don't accept the Ravid, I don't think, but the Ravid says, we're talking about the bird. Because he says, Rambam wrote that Kutach. Rama writes, your kutach is not so salty. You can eat it as is, you know, with the salt that's in it. We do all the time. It's a dip. Clearly, it has an edible amount of salt. The Ravid says, not true. If you were worried about the kutach, that the bli of the kutach into the bird, the kutach is already eino necha machmas milcha. How could that be? It's a usable sauce. You have in your refrigerator. You take it out. You dip. How could it be that a dip is eino necha machmas milcha? The Rabbi says, oh, eino necha machmas milcho, the Rabbi says, means you wouldn't eat it. It's too salty to eat alone. You would eat it as part of a sandwich. You would eat it together with other stuff. It's too salty to eat as is. Huh. That's an even lower threshold. That's even lesser of anatam lachor. That's very, very little. That's very, very little. So again, his the question of the parshanut, are we talking about the salty bird, the salty kutach, that has real nafkaminas. And with that, let's open up Shulchan Aruch. Let's open up Shulchan Aruch. Let's see how this plays itself out. Sif hey, Simon Tzai Alf Sif hey, Maliach She'ena Yochel Le'achel Machmas Milcho. You have this salty item that's too salty to be Nechel Machmas Milcho. What does that mean? Hainu ke'en maliach shamochen l'kedera. Yep. So that's Shulchan Aruch is machmir. Shulchan Aruch is machmir. And you see the gra right away starts telling you, look at this taisus, look at that taisus, etc., etc. So the shakadei malicha, and if it was there long enough, the amount of time, number of minutes that you would do a malicha meat, until you rinse away that salt, it's called eino nechal machmas milcha. Okay. And then the Ramah gets into some of the details. Well, maybe if the salt, some Rishon Ramekel, if the salt sits there for long enough, they would have drawn out all the blood for a piece of meat, so then maybe it loses its... Maybe you don't have to rinse it off. Maybe it loses its potency on its own. So it says maybe you can rely on that. Okay, that's a machlokas. Maybe Malcolm Hefsty rely on that. And a discussion about it. If you salt it only from one side, from two sides. He says, Lamaisa, we are generally machmir because we're not sure it is melech, it's not melech. We would be machmir. And then Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, Maliach ke'en maliach debarle la'archa, if it's a Rashi style malicha, not just that you salt it the way you salt meat for kashrus purposes, but you salted it to the point where it's preserved, where you can't even eat it at all, afilu achar she'edicho, then it's not enough to rinse, even after you rinse it, eino necha machmas milcho, kozman shlo shiro'o b'mayim, until you soak it in water, dino kiro se'ach, le'asar kadei klipa. Okay, so that's we're essentially accepting both with different standards. As Rabbeinu Tam's eino necha machmas milcho means that it needs to be rinsed away. Okay, and if you taka rinse it away, so then because you haven't rinsed it, it's moliach. Once you rinse it, you're good to go. Rashi's if it's salty to Rashi shear, then it's not even enough to rinse it. You have to soak it in order to remove the moliach status. Whatever the definition is of Maliach, Shulchan Aruch then goes on to the other aspect of the discussion, which is assuming that you have Maliach, what are the mechanics? Where does it travel? He says, Ein chiluk be Maliach elim v'tafel tachta, Maliach tachta tafel elim. We don't care about position. By heat we care about position, but by melach we do not. Which we said last time, it's less a question of position, more a question of motion. We'll see that coming up soon also. That's a Shach is going to quote that very soon. He says, I don't care about Elyon Tachna. What I do care about Li'olam HaMaliach Mavliya B'Tafel Ve'eno Bo'Le'a Mimenu. The salty, if one is salt, the other one is not, the salty item pushes its flavor into the bland item, but does not absorb the flavor of the bland item. So he says, what does this mean, Lamaisa? Hilka, Basu, Gvina, Meluchim, Shinagu, Zebezet, Halacha, Lamaisa. Salty meat, salty cheese. And again, the question is, how salty is salty? Okay. So a slice of salami is not the type of salt we're talking about. But something that's really salty meat, really salty cheese, and they're touching one another, then tzarich liklov shneim. You gotta, if they're both salty, so each one was marvli into the other, you gotta take off a kedei klipa of each one. Tzarich liklov shneim a kamni gesni. You have to peel where they touched on both pieces. Echem emaluach, sheni tafel. If only one is salty, then maluach mutter ba'adacha, then you just have to rinse off the salty one, because the tafel was not marvli into it. But the tafel, the bland food, needs klipa because it absorbed the taste of the salty item. And then the Rama says, but yesh orman to call malicha anu misharim b'shishim. Some would say, says the Rama, here's an Ashkenazi chumah, they were always worried about shishim. What do you mean? Meaning, we're not convinced that it's only kedei klipa. Maybe it's more than kedei klipa. Maybe it's mavli and the whole thing. So what's the solution? So if I have a little slice of salty flesh that falls on a big wheel of cheese, so then I'm good. I'll take a klipa, I'm good, because I'm mother shach. Either it's only kedei klipa or it's bekulo. But if it's bekulo, so then it's all mutter because the wheel of cheese is 60 times as large as the little salty slice of meat. But maybe it's all mavli kedei klipa. Okay, so take it kedei klipa. But the Rama says that many Ashkenazi Rishonim would be concerned that they have to be, have to think about both options. Maybe it's all mavliya kedei klipa, but then maybe it's mavliya bekulo. Now the question is, what on earth does that mean? Wait, what do you mean, maybe? That was the Gemara. How do you come off saying that that maybe it's Bekulo? Is that against the Gemara? So the answer is, or is it against the Gemara? What do we see? So the answer is, or Vilna Gaon tells you here, in Sivka, you got to take a look at Sivav. What's Sivav all about? So Sivav is based on a Gemara in the 7th parak, also about Maliach. Let's turn back. We've been in Kalabasa up until now. Kofir Alf, Kofir Beis, Kofir Gimel. Let's go back to Perge Anasha, to the 7th parak of Chulin. Back to Tzadi Vav. We had seen, 2 weeks ago, we had seen the Mishnah Tzadi Vav Amud Beis. This is one of the foundational Mishnais in terms of the world of Tam Ki Iker. The yerech sheizbashal b'geinashi. You cooked the thigh with the gid still in, right? So that was one of the cases we saw the idea of tam kikin. So the Mishnah had said the whole yerech could become aser. In yesh b'benos and tam, reizu asur. In other words, if you take the entire thigh of the animal and you cook it with the ginasha still in there, so the flavor of the ginasha is going to spread evenly through bakulo, be blia bakulo. And again, either it gets diluted or it doesn't get diluted. Either you're having a toem, you're having a kefela, that has the gemara tzai zayim alf that we saw, or else you're going to use shishim. But it's all or nothing. The blia is spreading evenly throughout, so either the yerech is so big that the tam is diluted and the whole thing is mutter, or the yerech is not so big and the genusha is big enough relative to the yerech, the whole thing is awesome. So take a look at the Gemara. Here the Gemara introduces us to a new variable, a new axis in the discussion. It's not enough, the Gemara now tells us, to think about what's the method of tam transfer? Heat, salt, and to think about if it's heat, you know, is the heat in motion or stationary? There's another distinction to be drawn. Amar Shmuel, in the world of heat. Amar Shmuel, lo shamashin is bashal ba. The Mishnah said there's bliya bakulo, bein lahaka, bein lahachmer. That's true if it was cooked in liquid. But nitzlaba, if you grilled it, if you broiled it, in a dry heat, then kole fi ocha ad shemagia legit. Then you could, you know, cut away the meat, just eat the meat, just leave the klipa right around the gid. Interesting. So even when we're dealing with real heat on the fire, we're saying, yeah, bliya bakulo, that's when it's sitting in liquid. But if it's a it's in dry heat, then there's only bliya bichadei klipa. Wow. But the Gemara is not really done with that yet. The Gemara says, well, are you sure? I've Amar Ravuna gedishet tzlal bechelba aser lecha v'im rosh asno. Ravuna told us that if you have a, if you take a whole animal, a whole goat, and you grill it, you broil it without removing the chaylev, the treif of hindquarter fat, you can't even eat the ear. In other words, if you take a, if you broil a whole goat, with the chaylev still in, the chaylev is going to travel throughout the whole animal. It'll end up, the chaylev is only the hindquarters. That's why in America, one of the reasons why in America it's almost impossible to get kosher hindquarter cuts, like filet mignon, is because the hindquarter has the chaylev and the giranasha. So you have to do nikur. You have to, the whole process of removing, in Yiddish it's called treibrin, in Hebrew it's called nikur, to remove all the chaylev, to remove all the giranasha, is very labor intensive. It requires a lot of expertise. So you know what you're looking for and what exact way to take out. And it's very, very labor intensive. So certainly in Eretz Yisrael, sometimes you can find. There's a smaller non-kosher market. It's a big, very big kosher market. In America, the non-kosher market is so vast compared to the kosher market, it's not even, even if people are well-trained, it's not really economical to, it's not worth the labor. You could just sell it. There's a large enough non-kosher market. They just cut off the hindquarters. They sell it to the non-kosher market, and then the headquarters get used sold in the kosher market. But so let's say if you didn't remove that, so the chaylev in the back, chaylev in the hindquarters, the animal. So Ravuna is saying, yeah, but if you grill the broil the animal with the chaylev still in, the tam chaylev is going to trafe up the whole animal. It's even going to travel to the ear on the other side. The Gemara says, how do you tell me that bliya bakulo is only have liquid, only by bishul, not by tzli? What do you mean? The chaylev, when you do tzli, he said it travels with the whole animal. Says the Gemara, key factor. Well, shiny chaylev, the top of tzayzayim and alf, the first couple of words, tzayzayim and alf, shiny chaylev dimifapeya. That's different. Chaylev is fat. Fat is going to travel throughout. Fat is going to travel throughout. So that is very. What do we derive from that Gemara? That bliya bakulo requires liquid or lipid. Requires either liquid or fat. If you don't have liquid and it's not fatty, it's not shamein. Instead, it's kachush. It's lean, so then it's not going to spread. It's not going to spread bakulo when it comes to heat. And the Gemara goes on to say that's true as well. On Tzayizayim Abayz, the same is true for Maliach Kiroseach. And that's what appears in Sif Vav. Hey, Chamrinan, de eno osel kadei klipa. When do we say that Maliach only is Mavliach kadei klipa? Kishain shom achas meachaticho shemena. If neither piece is particularly fatty, if it was shemena, if it's fatty, kula asura v'chein chavrta asura kula v'chein shashuban mifa'a peya. If either item is fatty, then there's going to be bliya bakulo in both directions. It no longer matters which one is maliach. If either one is fatty, both are bliya kulo. Okay, so that's Sif But that's muskam. The Ashkenazi chumra, and this comes up in a number of scenarios, is that we're not sure, we Ashkenazim feel we're no longer baki. I draw the line between kachosh and shamish. It's going to come up later in Bas Bechava, comes Hilchos Taruvos. And the truth is that general einanu bekiyin is a Ashkenazi refrain in a number of areas of halacha. Sometimes not just Ashkenazi. Let's say in the world of Maris, the Mishnah gives five particular shades, four shades of red plus black, which are Amara Tame. That's a Mishnah Nida. Not every red is a Pram Ikra Din, but the early Rishomer, right, we einanu bekiyin. We have lost the Masor of exactly which particular shades of red. So that's what Rama says. Any Marad Mumis, anything in the red family is problematic. So Ashkenazim, the Rama quotes that for Ashkenazim in other scenarios as well, where there's a line that a threshold to be crossed. So we say we're not sure that we know exactly where. So we're going to be Machmer. So for example, how fatty is fatty? Because the Gemara says, well, sometimes chayav is fatty enough, sometimes it's not fatty enough. Where do you draw the line? So Rama says a couple of, we're not bucking what shamot kachosh, we're always being machmir in both directions. So here's our first application of that. Rama says, look, if both pieces are kachosh, if both pieces are not fatty enough, so then kedei klipa. And kedei klipa only from the maliach to the tafel. But if either piece is fatty, sifav, so then you have b'liya b'kulo in both directions. So how do we know? So Rama says we always a machmer. Well, maybe it's kachosh and maybe it's shamin. So maybe you believe a kula, maybe you need a klipa. Lomaisa, what does that mean? We're always going to take a klipa, and for the rest of it, we're going to want to see zebit b'shish. So we sort of are machmer in in both directions.
Both?
Yeah. Yeah, you need shishim for both. Yeah, you take a look. The Shach says it explicitly in Sifkat and Yotef. Kelomar, im ha'isa achas and shmeina, if either of them is fatty, o ha'gvina, o ha'basar, if either the cheese or the meat is fatty enough, Hakol aser, then both pieces are fully aser. The azel hay mefat malai. One will give it share some of its lipids with the other. Ki ilu hakol shamei. Ki ilu hakol shamei. And that's why then they see the Ramad there says ayin lekamen simen kuf hay. That's the main simen about tam keikir in Hilchos Taruvos. The Shach says, yeah, take a look there. Sif tes Shach and Sifkat and Chaf over here. And as if Tes Nesbar, Lididan, Ein Chilo Ben Kachos L'Shamin. Lididan for us, meaning for Ashkenazim, we're not differentiating between lean and fatty, because we're not sure where to draw the line. V'chol Malicha Anu Mesharim B'Shishim. We always demand Shishim. We always demand Shishim. Yeah. Let's wrap up with the final two Se'ifim. We already spoke about Kedei Klipa, at least in principle, in two cases. One is Chamel Tavchtzonein, and the other one is Melicha. Although, as we saw for Ashkenazim, practically, it will be also a Kedei Klipa, as well as a need for Bittul B'Shishim. So, more often than that, it will be Aser B'Kulo. But if there's Bittul B'Shishim, then we'll still knock off the Kedei Klipa. There's another case as well. And two other cases. So the third case we already saw of Kedei Klipa is the Tzli. And that's what we just saw the Gemara in Sarivav Amibayz, if it's Kachosh. And that's what Tosis points out, Sarivav Amibayz. Because if it's Kachosh, so then... that's a third scenario. Tzli is sagile the klipa. That Tosus dimas l'ad. We'll just see the first line. Lav dafkach megila gid mamish, that if it's sli, then you peel all the way to the gid. Doesn't mean you eat everything except the gid. Hatzar sheyanechid de klipa samach legid. You have to leave the klipa, maybe even a little bit more, maybe need kedei netila. That takes us back to the Mishnah of Sachem. Okay, so maybe tzali, but tzali kachash would require a little more than kalipi, you can eat kedei netila. There's one more major case, or I should say one more driver of flavor. And that's Sif Zion, that's based on the piece of the Gemara we didn't yet get to in Kuf Yud Bey Zamanah. The Rechanina, the whole case of the Bar Gozla. Remember, he had said, oh, the bird fell into the sauce. So since it's not so salty, just rinse it off. The Gemara says, well, there are some caveats. Hani mili chai. Avot tzali boy klipa. The isbi pili kule aser. V'metabu batavlin kule aser. If it's raw, so then it's not absorbing anything. But if that bird was already grilled, so it will need a klipa. It will need a klipa. And if it has cracks in it, so then it's kulo. Then it's kulo aser. Then it's kulo aser. So take a look. A question: how you read this Gemara? Take a look at the Sif Zayin. How the mefalgim be nechamachos milcha la'enu nechamachos milcha. When we differentiate, we said it has to have a shear of saltiness. If you don't have that shear of saltiness, then it's not maliach. That's when it's a basar chai, raw meat. Raw meat falls into something salty, to the salty cheese, the salty milch sauce. So then we have to see how salty is salt. But if it's tzli, then it will be bolea. What do you mean? So we said tzli is klipa. What does that mean? So if Shulchan Aruch quotes, avot tzli roseach, the hot piece of meat off the barbecue falls into the maliach, even if it's not so salty, even if it's nechamach with milcho, boy klipa, you have to peel it. So Tosis points out, the Shach points out, yeah, meaning even if it's not salty at all, that's a din of sifdalad, chamel tovtzonin. Yeah, a piece of meat comes off the grill and it falls onto cold cheese, and even if everything is totally unsalted, that's cham letoch tzoning. Cham letoch tzoning. Okay. But then, now, but as the Shach points out, in Sifkan Chafal, there are Rishonim who think, no, even if it's a cold, that's not a new din. That's just din chametz chzonin. The Shach points out some Rishonim think that no, when the Gemara said tzli, it didn't mean a hot piece of tzli, it meant a cold piece of tzli. But if I have a grilled piece of meat, it's already a little more porous. So even if it's cold, it's not a solid raw piece of meat. So that if you put it into even cold liquid, it's going to absorb something, just because it's a little spongy. And that's what the Gemara goes on to say. And what Shulchan Aruch quotes, in Yeshvo Bekayim, if it has cracks, peely, or if it's Betul Vatavlin, it's very spicy, therefore it's very spongy, so then it's going to absorb fully. Why will it absorb fully? Shulchan Aruch thinks it means if it's hot. The Ramah says that's how we paskin. Afilu heim tzonanim dinahachi. If you have even if it's cold, but if it's a spongy piece of meat, it has deep cracks, it's very spiced, it's going to absorb just because it's going to absorb. It's a soft, spongy piece of meat. It's a soft, spongy. If it's not particularly spongy, it doesn't have particularly deep cracks in it. So then the Shach says, okay, that their first kedei klipa will absorb. And if it's a really porous piece of meat due to deep cracks, and due to its intense spice, so then it'll be blia bekulo. So let's recap what we have lehalacha. If you have full heat, then there's a possibility of blia bekulo. Either full heat with liquid, or full heat like tzli without liquid but with fat. Halacha l'maisa, the Ramah says, Hashem is always worried that maybe it's shaming. If you have full heat, you know, letoch cham is bliya bekulo. Another type of bliya bekulo is a very spongy, cold piece of food falling into liquid. Right, the pili, if it's the yeshbo pili, has bekaim, or it's very well spiced. Those are the two cases of bliya bekulo. Letoch cham or yeshbo bekaim. And then in terms of kedei klipa, so one type of kedei klipa is cham otoch tzonet. Another type of kedei klipa is moliach, assuming it's not shamein. I guess another one of the bliya bekulos is moliach with shamein. Okay, so three bliya bekulos, heat, malicha with shamein, or the pili, a cold piece of food, but it has it's very 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 porous. Kedei klipas are either cham otoch tzonet or moliach without the shamein, although lamasa Ashkenaz are always worried maybe it's shamein. And then a third kedei klipa, according to the shach, is a case of a cold piece of meat, but it's falling into liquid, but it's already cooked, it's already grilled, so it's already has a. It's not fully porous, but at least you were worried about the first. The kedei klipa is going to absorb liquid. You can't just rinse it off. You're going to have to peel it off. Again, in terms of malicha, we explored the shear of how malich is malich, the three different sheets from Yishonim about nechama milcho, as well as the unique dynamic. We don't care about elyon tachton, we do care about malich and tafel. And it's only the malich is mavliya, but the tafel is not mavliya. Shnei maluchim, they both become the new kedei klipa. Ech malucha, ech tafel, only the tafel requires a klipa. And then finally, to wrap it all up, but first a question.
Why is Sully and Bekaim different? According to Svarar, Sully is only Klipa is okay, but Bekaim, the whole thing's usher.
Right, which is based
on the... Isn't Sully softened it enough that it's...
Yeah, so but that's based on the Gemara. The Gemara said, Sli by Klipa Isbe Pili Kuli Aser. In other words, Sli means it's no longer raw, it was grilled, so it's obviously softer, but it doesn't have deep cracks. So we're worried if you have a done piece of meat, you put it into liquid, the liquid will get absorbed a little bit. I'm not worried the liquid is going to penetrate all the way through, but at least, you know, it'll absorb into the first klipa. But if it has deep cracks, so then already I'm worried, that's mamma spongy. So if it's not a spongy piece of meat, either spongy because it physically has deep cracks, or spongy because it's heavily spiced, so then already I'm worried about absorption all the way through. Now, it's an interesting type of bliya. It's not really like a bliya with a force, like heat or maliach or kavish, or let's say the fourth force, which we'll get to the end of Bas Bechal, which is Davar Charev. Here it's more of like a physical thing. Not like there's any force portion, just this piece of meat is a sponge. So it's going to get absorbed everywhere. The logic of it is a little bit different. It's not really a bliya, but practically speaking, it's going to spread throughout. Yeah, question.
Would meatloaf be an example of something spongy, or not enough?
It could be. Yeah, it could be. It is. It could be. It depends how you make your meatloaf. No, I'm serious. Sometimes the meatloaf is different recipes, different ways of making it. Sometimes it's really more solid. But other times it'll be really, not quite sponge cake, but really very, very porous. So that's what you have to assess. And then finally,
would hamburgers or meatloaf be considered even not tashal and not mitbasha? Like if you grill the hamburger, is that really like tzali in the Gemara, or tzali in the Gemara means you actually grilled like a steak?
Tzali definitely means grilling a steak. Right. It's a regular tzli. It doesn't have pili. It's only kedei klipa. I guess the question is, if it's ground meat, so then maybe is ground meat automatically like there aren't any open cracks?
But the
natural structure of the meat is no longer there.
Right.
So that's, I guess, maybe part of the question. Will you say that any time it's made out of ground meat is automatically the equivalent of isbe pili, or you say no? But obviously, if it was loose. Clearly, Sloppy Joe's is this baby pili. It's just like pieces. But if it was ground meat, but now you baked it into a single loaf, ah, that's interesting, Shiloh. It's interesting, Shiloh. Yeah, you can experiment. Not with milk, but take some meat and dip it into some power of liquid. The closing sif, he says, Acharei Kachlos HaKol, all these issues of Maliach, or now he, for the first time, the Simon mentions Kavosh. Remember, this goes back to Simon Pei Zayin. This discussion has to do with Isser Achila, but not with Isser Hana, because Isser Hana is only when you have Bishul Daraisa. And this is not Bishul Daraisa. These are all cases of it's a Rabbana, only if your milk is blended with your meats. Okay, in the beginning of the Simon, we said, if it's just they touch each other, but there's no Blia, so they rinse off the surface and you're good. If there's Blia, so there's no way to escape the fact that the milk is intermingled with this piece of meat, or that the flavor of the meat is intermingled into the milk or into the piece of cheese. But Vaita, if you eat it, what did you do? You ate basar v'chalav. You're eating milk and meat side by side. And they're so intertwined because in the Nisinas Tam, you can't tease out one from the other. So you're going to have to throw it out because it's asa midrabanan. But it's not basar v'chalav. It's not because it's not basar v'chalav shenis bashlo. So it's an isra achila, but you, for instance, you know, if you have a situation where something became treif because of basar v'chalav, Basar v'chal drabon because maliach, so a Jew's not allowed to eat it. But you can give it as a present to a non-Jew, or you can have some other type of hanaf from it. You can sell it wherever else you're going to do. You could compost it, and, you know, make it. You can have some type of hanaf, but if it's bas b'chal deraisa, if it's basar and chal d'had bishul, so then already it's aser b'chilu uva hanaf uva bishul all three.